FFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, eclipse. Parts of the state are in the path of totality for this afternoon's solar eclipse, and we'll check in with our own Jason Dole, who's on his way to view it. Plus, artificial turf in Eldred. The school district is enhancing its sports facilities, which involves transitioning their sports field from natural grass to artificial turf. Rebecca Kreskoff from Beyond Plastic, Sullivan County, is raising concerns, arguing the shift could pose toxic risks to students, faculty, and the environment. Maren Scotton, our student journalist, will have an interview. Plus, we'll check in with Jim Huntington for Workshift Live, and it's our spring fun drive. Donate now. We've got a challenge coming up right after the news from NPR. Next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has announced his campaign's policy on abortion. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports Trump's remarks on social media come months after mixed signals about his stance on the issue.
Trump said on Truth Social that abortion should be left up to the states, meaning that he declined to support a federal abortion ban.
Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be.
He also explicitly took credit for overturning Roe v. Wade. The Biden campaign has been emphasizing Trump's connection to the overturn, as abortion has proven motivating not only for Democrats but many independent voters. Just weeks ago, Trump had expressed openness to a 15-week federal abortion ban. The Trump campaign's waffling reflects a GOP struggling to promote a unified message on abortion, as restrictive state-level bans prove unpopular. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
President Biden will move again today to lessen borrowers' student debt loads. He'll speak about this in Madison, Wisconsin. NPR's Sequoia Carrillo says Biden is prioritizing borrowers who now owe more than what their original loans were.
The new proposals place a lot of emphasis on reducing or eliminating accrued interest, or what U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona calls runaway interest. Millions of borrowers now owe more than what they initially borrowed.
NPR's Sequoia Carrillo reporting. Last year, the Supreme Court rejected Biden's first effort to reduce student debt that would have cleared about $400 billion in student loan debt. Today is the long-awaited total solar eclipse in North America. It will begin just after 11 Pacific time in Mexico this morning and move north into Texas. The eclipse path will take it up through the plains, Midwest, and into New England. Then it'll cross into Canada. The National Weather Service says the best viewing points for the eclipse in the U.S. will be in northern New England. Stocks opened higher this morning as investors wait for an update on inflation this week. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose about 5 points in early trading.
The Labor Department will report Wednesday on consumer prices for the month of March. Annual inflation in February was 3.2%. J.P. Morgan Chase's CEO warns both inflation and interest rates could stay higher than expected this year. In his annual letter to shareholders, Jamie Dimon says he expects the U.S. economy to keep growing, but he raised cautions about conflicts overseas and political polarization here at home. J.P. Morgan and other big banks are set to report quarterly earnings later this week. Delta Airlines will also provide a financial report on Wednesday. Stock in Taiwan Semiconductor opened higher after the Commerce Department pledged more than $6.5 billion to help the computer chip maker build and expand factories in the U.S. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
And you're listening to Radio Catskill from Liberty. I'm Tim Bruno, and I'm joined in the studio by two of our longtime friends, longtime supporters. You know them as the two queens. We know them as Charles Wilkin and Martin Higgins. How are you? Good morning,
guys.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in.
Happy Eclipse Day.
Happy Eclipse Day. And thank you so much for bringing us some coffee, much needed, here as we fuel up for our spring fun drive. Mm-hmm. And we're so glad to have you here. We're always so glad to see you and always so glad for your support. And one of the things we're asking folks during this fun drive is, you know, how they came to listen to the station, how they discovered the station, and what do you value most about the station? So I'm going to put it to you guys. How did you discover Radio Catskill?
Well, we were talking about this in the car on the way over. I mean, Martin and I have been here since 2005 when we bought our house. We are huge NPR listeners, so coming from the city, Brooklyn. So I feel like we were just scanning the airwaves looking for a station and found, you know, WJFF. And I don't know. For me personally, I feel like it wasn't until later, like after coming up to our house and renovating it, and because we would do this no sleep till Brooklyn kind of thing. I would say for me personally, it was kind of like after a couple weeks, I was like, this station is totally a gem, you know? And I think it was all the combination of the NPR and then all the, you know, locally produced things that you guys do here. It's amazing.
There's a lot of local programming. There's all these great local shows, national shows, and global shows, too. Mm-hmm. We try to bring this broad perspective of news, information, and entertainment. What do you value most about the station, Martin?
I mean, I have similar values. I've been a longtime NPR public radio lover, so it was always my practice when I'd go to a new place, especially driving a lot, to search the lower end of the dial, find the NPR affiliate, find the station. And when I found Radio Catskill, I was like, wow, this is so cool, because really I was just looking for my morning news fix and then leaving it on through the day. It's just become like the soundtrack at our house. Anyone who's been to our house knows that WJFF is probably playing in the background at all hours of the day.
Yes.
From the minute we wake
on.
Up until the minute we go to bed. Yeah. Because there's always something interesting to listen to. And I think what I value about it most is the volunteers, the community that actually comes together to make this radio station what it is. All the people that put countless hours into original programming and all the news and information. I love the addition of the local news programming like Radio Chatskill that's really helps connect the community to each other.
Yeah, and it's great to see members of the community like yourselves coming through the door every morning. We get to talk to so many different people. Mm-hmm. And if you support that, you support all the things that the guys are talking about here, call us during our fund drive right now, 845-482-4141, or go to wjffradio.org. Help us get to our $55,000 goal before the end of the drive, April 20th. But we can do it earlier than that. We're already 17% of the way there, $9,300 raised. We're trying to raise $10,000 today, get to the $10,000 mark, I mean. We could raise $10,000. That'd be great. Get to the $10,000 mark, just over $600 to go. One of the great treasures of our station as well is our program director, Jason Dole, who is not here right now. He's joining us on the phone, though, because he is chasing the eclipse. Jason, are you there?
I'm totally here. 845-482-4141. Call now. Donate now. Spring Fund Drive's happening. I am in Norwich, New York, which is kind of like our base camp for departing further upstate and ahead towards the shores of Lake Ontario. My first choice is the Sterling Nature Preserve, and that's where we're hoping to see the eclipse. There's clouds all over the sky right now, but they're very thin and wispy. So there's a lot of sun, a lot of hard shadows, and we're just hoping that holds up through the day.
All right. Are there a lot of people around? Are you surrounded by some other folks that are going to see the eclipse?
Not at this moment that you could tell. You know, it just seems like regular Norwich folks doing their thing. I think as we hit the road, we'll start to see more traffic on the road. I was surprised yesterday, westbound on 17, going from Manor to Roscoe and then out to Delaware County. Much more westbound traffic than you would usually see on a Sunday. I even passed a luxury limousine bus, actually. And I'm like, okay, those folks are going out to the eclipse. Like, you could tell there was a lot of eclipse traffic yesterday.
They're on their way. Now, Norwich, where is that in upstate New York?
It's central New York, Shenango County, so just north of Broome County. So a little bit north of Sydney and Binghamton. Yeah.
And you're driving further north to get right in the center of that path. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to be?
We're going to be, it's Sterling, New York, and it's just, that's just a little southwest of Oswego. I forget the name of the county that it's Cayuga County. It's a very narrow, tall county. We'll be right at the top of it on the lake shore if all goes well.
So, I know you've been, we know you've been talking about this for a while. Are you excited?
I'm excited, you know. The only things to worry about now is what will the weather cooperate, and what's the traffic going to be like on my way back home, you know, because we got a fun drive to do. But, you know, this is fun and it's an adventure. And what's nerdier than going all this way just to see an eclipse? Stamp collecting. And I'm excited that where I'm going to see the eclipse is one of the about a dozen places around the country in the Path of Totality that have their local post office apply to have a pictorial postmark for the day to commemorate it. So you can get, I'm going to get stamps canceled and collected with this pictorial postmark as the sun's being eclipsed, if all goes well.
You're going full on nerd eclipse there.
Whoa.
I love it.
Totally. Totally.
Totality.
You have
any, totality. And you're pitching for a public radio fund drive simultaneously. So I think you're getting
absolutely.
The nerd.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people could give $5 for gas money just in case he gets stuck on the way home.
We need him back. We need him back. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. That is the number you can call or go to the website there for a donation during our spring fund drive. Talking to Jason Dole, who's on the road, headed to that Path of Totality. You're with some friends there, too?
Yes. Thankfully, none of them are in the car right now because they're all the sorts of friends that would totally mess with someone who's trying to talk live on the radio. They're all inside getting coffee, and they left me alone to do this in my little sound booth car here.
There you go. And do you have your glasses and everything? You're all prepped?
Yes. And I was able to get a bunch of eclipse glasses yesterday. I made sure that my family had some, my friend's family had some. I left a couple there at the station.
Yes. Thank you.
There. So we're good with that. And I also bought just regular sunglasses, cause I didn't have a good pair of those, and boy, it's sunny. So, and that's great. I'm digging the sun today.
All right. Well, we're going to check in with you later. Once you get up there, I think. And, we have our NPR special today at two to four during the entire eclipse as well. So, you know, we'll check in with you and see how it's going and get your feedback on, this once in a generation experience. Jason, thanks for taking some time on your path to the Path of Totality.
Oh, thanks so much, Tim. Thanks, Charles. Thanks, Martin. Everybody, call now. I'm not coming back till we get past 20%. 845-482-4141. Get me back.
Have fun.
845-482. Thanks, Jason. 482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We know a couple of other folks in the WJFF family that are heading out that way, too, and we'll check in with them as well. Lots of folks moving up there toward that path. We're staying put here. We'll get, like, what, maybe 80, 90% or something,
yeah,
they said?
Yeah, 85, 90%.
That's enough for me, really.
Totally.
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm good.
Get the flavor.
Speaking of flavor,
yes.
You guys, Two Queens, you have an anticipated new location that's opening up. Could you tell us an update on what's going on with that?
Yes, we are very excited. We've been planning this for 2 years, and we're going to have our new cafe opening this year, people, this year. 90 Main Street, Narrowsburg, New York, right on the river there. Breathtaking view. Martin and I have been working nonstop on it. We're hoping, if all goes well and we get all the permits and everything, Memorial Day.
All right. Scheduled for Memorial Day. Yeah. That's good. You're excited about the new location?
We are excited. We'll finally have enough room to bring everybody in.
It is 1,600 square feet.
Ooh, big.
It is gigantic. So lots of places to spread out, hang out. We're going to have a little more expanded coffee menu and a little extra things to snack on. So, you know, we're working
on a little style, a little pizzazz.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you guys.
A little different. Well, it does not look like anything in the Catskills. I will say that.
Ooh, yeah. There's a good tease. All right.
It's not in our neck of the Catskills.
No.
All right. So that's coming up, scheduled for Memorial Day. In the meantime, you're still at Pete's Plaza, still serving up the great coffee from Two Queens. Yeah. And where can folks get more information about Two Queens and updates on the new place?
Instagram is a good place. Just Two Queens Coffee on Instagram. You can always check out our website, twoqueenscoffee.com.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Thank you so much for your support.
Anytime.
You're always wonderful people to talk to and just friendly faces to see. So thank you so much for everything you do for us and for the community as well.
We love the station and hope y'all will support it.
Thank you so much.
All right.
845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. All right, we'll take a quick break and have more. I'm not sure, but we'll have something. This is Radio Chatskill. Happy fun drive.
I'm Lauren McGaughey. I'm a coordinating producer for NPR. A coordinating producer is someone who goes in the fields wherever there's a big news event happening and acts as event planner and scheduler and script proofreader. Often it just means you're the problem solver on the ground. So anything that the reporters need to do their job, you're kind of there to help with. You know, the beauty of it is that you get to support people who are telling people's stories that you can't get if you're not on the ground. Making sure that they have power strips and showers, things like that, it feels like you're part of this bigger team effort to help tell the story. I think it's so important to have eyes and ears on something as small as a school board vote to as large as a global conflict. There's a lot that goes into reporting a story that doesn't always get seen, but is crucial to doing the story, and we could not do that without listener donations.
Keep public radio in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Jeff Works Office Solutions, located right on Main Street in Jeffersonville, New York. A newly renovated pet-friendly office space that rents by the day, week, or month, with hot desks, sound-insulated rooms, Wi-Fi, modern amenities, and 24-hour secure access. Online at jeffworksjayville.com. And from The Cooperage Project, thecooperageproject.org. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
That's right, wjffradio.org, or call 845-482-4141. It's our spring fun drive, and we need your support. This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. One of the things we do on Radio Chatskill is bring you news and information from our area. And one of the ways we do that is by having some folks go out and report on that, including some of our interns. Our intern, Maren Scotton, is on the phone right now. Maren, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. And thanks for being one of our news interns that are bringing us great community stories. You've been doing some great work. You've got a story that you're bringing us today about some concerns about artificial turf in Eldred. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah. So back in mid-March, the Eldred Central District School Board announced they were going ahead with plans to implement an artificial turf field. And I spoke with Rebecca Kreshkoff, who's a volunteer with Beyond Plastics. And when she first heard about the project, she was pretty concerned. She's been researching the impacts of artificial turf for a while now. She's pretty adamant that installing the field will have negative impacts on the environment and the health of those playing on it, especially in the long term.
All right, here's your conversation with Rebecca and that story about artificial turf concerns in Eldred. It's Radio Catskill's Merritt Scott.
In March, the Eldred Central School District announced they were moving forward with plans to implement an artificial turf sports field. The project was initially introduced in 2021, and after several public meetings, it was given the go-ahead. When Rebecca Kreshkoff heard the news, she was immediately concerned. Kreshkoff is a volunteer with Beyond Plastics and has spent much of the last 3 years lobbying against plastics and their impact on the environment and human health.
I went ballistic internally. I hit the ceiling because it's not a good idea. Why is it not a good idea? Well, what is artificial turf? It's a carpet made of plastic put out in the environment. This carpet has got, you know, the little blades sticking up, little plastic blades, which break off. It's got a backing underneath. That's what the little blades are attached to. There's a spongy layer often that goes beneath that. These things are all made out of various forms of plastic. And then the whole thing is drizzled with a copious amount of so-called infill to help ground the so-called turf and keep it in place, and also to provide cushioning and traction for the players. All various forms of plastic. Rubber is largely not come from rubber trees anymore or other things, goldenrod. It is largely made out of plastic, and plastic is not inert. That is probably the most astonishing thing that I've learned over the past few years, is that plastic is not inert. The various properties that different plastics have, that's all from added plasticizers, chemicals that make it rigid or flexible, chemicals to give it color, chemicals to make it resistant to heat, flame retardants, often biocides, just various chemicals get added to the plastic. And because they are not part of the original carbon chain, they're just folded in. They really just, those molecules just sit between the carbon molecules. And that means they're not well fastened. They don't stay put. They leak out. They can be leached out in rain, etc. So you put a huge plastic carpet out in the world where it is exposed to UV light. Oh, and they put UV light, UV stabilizers in plastics as well. So you put out this huge plastic carpet in the environment where it's exposed to weathering, UV light, abrasion. You've got the kids running over the field. It's going to leak toxic chemicals into the environment, which get into the groundwater, which gets into us.
Not only do artificial turf fields impact the surrounding environment, but Kreshkov says the field itself poses a number of health risks to those playing on it. There is a higher rate of foot and ankle injuries on artificial turf compared to natural grass. Turf also contains a number of human carcinogens, which is a substance or agent capable of causing cancer.
There are known toxic chemicals in synthetic turf. Benzene, arsenic, styrene. That's anticipated to be a human carcinogen. Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs, PAHs. Zinc is a neurotoxin. Cadmium, known human carcinogen. Chromium, same. It's a respiratory irritant. It's appalling that our government is effectively subsidizing poisoning our kids.
Kreshkov isn't the only one with concerns. In 2023, FIFA banned the use of artificial turf at the Women's World Cup. Many collegiate coaches are also speaking up about the potential health impacts of turf on their players. Kreshkov is adamant that this is not a decision that prioritizes the health and safety of children and teenagers. She plans to keep raising awareness and hopes to get in contact with concerned parents and students.
I just want to point out, in case it's not blindingly obvious, that artificial turf is a source of microplastics because the blades break off, the turf, the infill migrates out, people track it into their homes. This stuff is toxic. I have seen pictures of signs with warnings of things that you should not do on turf fields, like you shouldn't eat there, you shouldn't drink there, you should keep any drinks covered when you get home, you should bang your shoes over the garbage can outside, wash your clothes right away, wash your hands, etc., because the toxins travel on your body. You know, if you've got one little bit of rubber crumb infill or one little plastic blade, the cost is huge. The manufacturers are marketing this as a low cost, low maintenance alternative to natural grass. It is not. There is a lot of maintenance that's required, including replacing the crumb infill, which is a vast amount of stuff, toxic stuff that has to be gotten rid of somehow. Turf is not really recyclable. Nobody's doing it in the United States. Landfilling is expensive. So you've got all these huge bulky rolls that actually landfills don't want. That's why it's expensive to get rid of. They just make you pay more. And these artificial turf playing fields are being marketed aggressively by the manufacturers because obviously they want to make money. They want to just keep their business model going. The industry is entirely unregulated. There are no federal regulations that apply to artificial turf fields. I would welcome it if anybody out in the listening audience could put me in contact with the right people. But I really think this is a decision that needs to be reversed. And I would welcome help from anyone in this, especially residents of Eldred and particularly parents of school kids there.
That was Rebecca Kreshkov, a volunteer with Beyond Plastics, on the Eldred Central School District's new artificial turf project. In Liberty, I'm Maren Scotton for Radio Catskill.
And Merritt Scotton is on the phone with us now. Merritt, great report. Thank you so much for bringing us that. What did you learn out of that, that conversation you had with Rebecca?
Yeah, I learned a lot about the impact that artificial turf can have on players' health, and just all the chemicals that are in plastics that we don't realize can kind of seep into our everyday environment and impact our health in the long term.
You've been doing some great reporting for us. I just want to reemphasize again, you're one of our interns, college student, NYU. You have been doing some really good stuff, especially on the environment, sustainability. Is that something you want to pursue as you move forward in your career?
Yeah, definitely. I've always really been interested in the climate, and kind of the people who are working to have an impact in that space. And I think storytelling is a really interesting way to kind of share the work that they're doing. It's definitely something I want to pursue as I graduate from NYU. This is my last semester, so kind of excited to enter that space.
That's awesome. And you've been doing some great reporting, and we hope that the reporting you're doing for us is going to help you in that next step. And I just want to remind folks that in order for us to be able to have Merritt work with us, we need your support. We have a paid internship. Thankfully, so that Merritt can afford some snacks. Hopefully, it's not a lot, but we are able to pay for it with your support. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. Merritt, thank you again. We look forward to your next report, and we'll let you get back to class.
Thanks so much, Tim.
All right. I'm Tim Bruno. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. It's our spring fun drive. And part of our spring fun drive is checking in with some of our friends from the community. Earlier, we heard from Charles and Martin from Two Queens. And now we're checking in with Claire Merritt, who is the owner of Catskill Provisions and the makers of Pollinator Spirits. And we're here with the chef from the tasting room at Catskill Provisions, Harris Meyer. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us. We're very excited to be here today.
Thank you. I really appreciate you being here, and especially being here when it's your first day back after a winter break, right? You guys are reopening Catskill Provisions today.
Yes, absolutely. Today's our first official opening day of the shop at the tasting room. So come down and do some tastings and taste all the different honeys and spirits that we have.
And sample some of Chef's wares here, some of the food. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You're also here to help us out with our fun drive. I hear there might be a challenge that you're offering to some folks.
We are, yeah. We're offering a $500 challenge today.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
I
amazing.
Hope that some of you out there make those phone lines go crazy.
Yeah, so basically how this works is Claire is offering a $500 challenge. We have to meet that challenge before we get that. So if you are able to help us out toward that $500 goal of that challenge, that becomes $1,000. So we add that to the tally. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. So generous of you. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, we're asking people during this fun drive how they came to discover Radio Catskill and what do you value about the station? And, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, there's nothing better than local radio stations, right? We are extremely lucky to have WJFF have incredible programming. You have focused on so many members of the community for so many years. You learned so much just from listening to you. And I literally hear about it in this city, like, you know, in Brooklyn, people will know WJFF. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're going to be there. You know, so, you know, it's become very famous in its own right. And I'm super proud to be in the Western Catskills sharing the love for the area.
Yeah. And part of the community, like you carry that community wherever you go, whether it's Brooklyn or Calicoon or wherever you are.
Yeah.
Harris, how have you discovered the station? What is it about the station that makes you listen?
Well, I just trying to get to know the community that I'm going to now be a part of, and I'm going to start working here. And I'm a relatively recent transplant to upstate in general. My wife and I moved up here 4 years ago. So my job with Claire is to, you know, further the mission of knowing everybody and, you know, offering something to the community. And this is a great way to learn about it.
Where did you guys move from?
We moved from the city.
Yeah.
But we weren't necessarily COVID transplants like so many stories.
Yeah.
We were looking for something, and then lockdowns happened. So it was a happy accident.
Yeah. How are you finding it so far?
Oh, I love it. You know, I have connections to the city. I go in from time to time. I have a business there. But I love being outdoors, and we're very lucky to have beautiful property in addition to cozy little cabin.
And how is it with starting out as a chef at the tasting room with Catskill Provisions?
Well, we're very excited. We're going to open the food to the public on Friday, and I'm just so happy to be a part of it. I learned, you know, when you're a young chef, you think it's about you and your vision and your ego. And as you get older, you realize your job is to create food that tells the story of the place that you are and the products around you. And so to partner with Claire and actually be directly involved with one of the makers I admire, who's making products that I love to cook with, it's a great synergy. So we're very excited about it.
One of the products that you're making is pollinator spirits, as we talked about, award-winning pollinator spirits. Yeah. How's everything going with that part of the business?
Good, good. The distillery is going very strong. You know, I distill everything up in Long Eddy on our property there. We have 40 acres, and the distillery is incredible. We now have a vodka, two gins, three whiskeys. We have an Amaro, aperitivo style Amaro. That's absolutely delicious. We're also making a Nocino black walnut liqueur.
Oh.
Because we have a lot of black walnut trees up here.
Yeah.
Just like they do in northern Italy. So, you know, we were inspired by what they do there, but we have, you know, the mountains and the trees here as well. And it's so good. You have to come to the tasting room and taste it.
So that's new, and that's going to be on the menu?
Yes.
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
And it's only there. We make a very small amount. Yeah. You could only get it there, but at least come and taste it. It's absolutely delicious. Very special.
Claire Marin from Catskill Provisions, the makers of pollinator spirits as well, issuing a challenge, $500 during our spring fund drive. Call us now at 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org and help us meet that challenge. And we will get a little closer to our goal. We need to raise that money because we rely on your support. We're listener-supported public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. You know, you were talking about community and the station, and Harris, you were talking about discovering this community, and it's just, you know, a part of being here is just interacting with all the different folks. Mm-hmm. Just now, you were intersecting with Charles and Martin, who you kind of, you know, and yes, part of the community. And it's so great for us. Sorry. It's so great for us to see that intersection in person, but then also hear it on the airwaves as well. And Harris, I must, you must kind of start discovering this community for yourself too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody that, you know, has some connection, one degree of separation at most, or otherwise they know each other. And Claire's a very buzzy bee, let's put it. And yeah, she's very, very, very outgoing. So she knows a lot of people, and I'm getting introduced to some great people through her.
That's awesome. And Claire, you were talking about pollinator spirits, Catskill Provisions. How long have you been doing this? It's been a few years now, but I can't remember how long it's been. I live in Calicoon, right? So, and yes, I know you and the fire department where your Catskill Provisions is.
That's right.
You transformed that. No one would know, yeah, that hadn't been here before, that it was the former location of the volunteer fire department, which moved up on 97.
That's right.
So how long has that been?
So we bought that building. My partner and I, Kathy, bought that building in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were considering other properties. We fell in love with the area. I was still working in media in the city. And by 2010, not 2014. I'm so sorry. That's totally wrong. It's 2004.
Oh, wow.
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we didn't know really quite what we were going to do with it, right, you know, when we bought it. Because it was the biggest building in Calicoon that was for sale. And we fell in love with Calicoon. Little Western movie set, right? I mean, it's like, it's adorable. So we're like, okay, we don't know what we want to do. We actually considered coffee roasting. And we considered a bakery. You know, we were just dreaming, you know, just dreaming. And then fast forward to 2010, I quit my job in publishing and I start Catskill Provisions. By 2011, Harris and I had met. He was the second chef to buy my honey, and he still is. We supply about 300 restaurants weekly with honey and maple syrup.
A lot of folks don't know that. I don't think that you supply 300 restaurants with that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So it's a big big nut.
I just want to add that I have a restaurant, Creamline, in Chelsea Market, and we are very proudly write Catskill Provisions honey on the menu for one of our sandwiches.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, which fits like my view that the artisans and the farmers are the heroes. And so Claire, like she mentioned, I met when I was a sous chef at a restaurant called 100 Acres years ago. And like, mm-hmm. you know, the people that make the awesome products are heroes to chefs. And so it's just really cool that we've actually connected now and are in earnest working together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be like, it's a great full circle moment that you're able to
it
do.
It is.
That.
It's incredible.
When
really.
You talk about dreaming and what you were dreaming about, did mm-hmm. you think that it was going to, the honey was going to evolve into the spirits part and having the whole tasting room part? Did you kind of see this happening or did it just sort of evolve?
At that time, honestly, I was harvesting honey from my hives, putting it in a jar and taking it to the city, you know, to sell it to chefs. I didn't want to become a competitor to other beekeepers up here. You know, having connections there, I thought, you know, that would be a healthier way for me to do it and farmers markets and things like that. So I started doing that. And then the farm distilling movement really caught my eye. I wanted to get closer to agriculture, help agriculture, support it. And, you know, at that time in our area up here in 2003, when I first came up here, it was every farm was like, a few weeks away from losing the farm.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the next generation wasn't returning to help. And you know, so it was a really tough time. And also, let's not forget about fracking. Fracking was a huge, 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 very, very scary moment for us. Luckily, yeah. we averted that. But, you know, so I became a bit of an activist. Chefs for the Marcellus Shale was a group that I was a part of. So getting a lot of signatures and support from Manhattan chefs for that as well so that we could tell the governor, don't frack,
yeah.
you know. So it was a very good way for me to kind of get into it and support agriculture.
And, you know, I remember that time. It was a sense of the community coming together for this one cause to, like, you know, make sure that things that you wanted to preserve in this area remained.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pristine, amazing mm-hmm. area. The Delaware River, the watershed. We supply the drinking water to New York City people. So, you know, all of us kind of coming together, going through that and coming through that. And then on the other end of that, seeing this great transition, transformation, I don't know what you want to call it, but let, you know, those farms that were in crisis, maybe some of them are no longer here, but then there's so many other folks that are doing farming and you know your farmer and you know where your yeah. cheese comes from and you know where the eggs are from and that sense of community here and just, you know, having that be a part of our lives, I think is really kind of amazing. I don't know. I just have that great, wonderful place in my heart for this place.
yeah, it's very difficult not to. I think if you spend time here, it just you have a sense of belonging, mm-hmm. you know, and the connections to the community and the makers and knowing that the bread that you're eating and you know, milk and eggs and, you know, just about everything. I mean, Harris could tell you, I've given him a list of everyone around here that is an incredible producer. Like, we are definitely not skimping. It's incredible. Very talented people.
And everyone wants everyone else to succeed. I think that's also totally. Part of it, too. Are you experiencing some of those new places? You discovered the honey from Catskill Provisions. Are you discovering some other new great things that you're incorporating into your food?
Yeah. So at the tasting room, we're going to try to tell that story. And Claire's introduced me to Snowdance Farm that makes, you know, amazing chicken and raises it very humanely, which also means that it's going to taste delicious. And a pork farmer,
Mark
a cheese maker,
Copen.
Mark mm-hmm. Copen, pork
amazing.
Farmer. And, you know, basically all these, you know, farms that basically supply New York. And so we're just going right to the source with this menu and trying to tell that story.
The story is great. Catskill Provisions, makers of pollinator spirits as well. Claire Maron and Harris Mayer, thank you for coming in. There's a $500 challenge on the table here during our spring fund drive. We've already heard from Anonymous in PA. And we signed up a new sound supporter too. RM Farm in Livingston Manor signed up too.
Excellent.
Which is awesome. So it looks like we have about $350 to go or so on this challenge. So thank you so much. If we get that $500, from you, the listener, then we'll get that $500 from Claire, and we will make that $1,000 and add it to the tally. Thank you for your support, 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. Thank you guys so much. And remind folks where they can get more information about the Catskill Provisions.
Yes, so you can come down and see us in Calicoon, 16 Upper Main Street, or you could call us at 845-887-3289 or CatskillProvisions.com.
And the social media channels, of course, as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Instagram. Please follow us on
You're
Instagram.
You're all over them. She's a social media influencer. All right. Claire Harris, thank you guys so much. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Pleasure.
All right. We'll take a break. And when we come back, it's Work Shift Live with James B. Huntington. This is Radio Catskill.
Hi, I'm Brent Jones, Senior News Apps Developer at NPR.
I'm Casey Morell, and I produce the NPR Politics Podcast.
My name is Kristen Hartman. I'm the Senior Manager of Business Development at NPR.
I work in public media for a lot of reasons, but the main one is that first word, public. What we do is available to everyone, everywhere.
I started at NPR answering phones when listeners called. And I stay in public media because I'm just insatiably curious about what we can do and create when we all work together.
I've worked in public media for more than a decade because I believe it's important to help people understand the world around them, how we got here, what's happening now, where we're going, and why it matters to all of us.
Help keep public media strong today by making a donation to this station. Here's how, and thank you.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141. This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. We were just talking to Claire and Harris from Catskill Provisions and issuing a challenge of $500. We just have over $300 to go on that, so help us out, 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We're going to go next to Mr. James B. Huntington for Work Shift Live, local author, local economist for Local Economic Perspective. James B., good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, listeners.
Well, happy first day of the spring fun drive, and also happy Eclipse Day.
Yes, it's a biggie, folks.
And what do we think the effect of the eclipse will have on the economy? I was reading somewhere that Governor Hochul expects maybe 1 million people in the state. I guess that's going to translate into some benefits for some of the businesses.
Well, yes, it will. It's going through 15 states. That's the totality area. It's not only very high hotel prices and Airbnb and such prices, but very high occupancy rates because people are buying them, restaurant business out of sight, other attractions here and there when people choose to go places other than the eclipse, in addition to the eclipse, gas stations, convenience stores, rental cars. The whole thing is looking quite big. I have a Forbes estimate that it could be $1 billion in windfall form for American businesses that they otherwise would not get.
Wow, wow, that is amazing. That is, I mean, just for like a natural event occurring, that's great.
Yes, out of nowhere, really.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened with Friday's jobs report. What can you tell us?
Okay, oh boy, this was a barn burner. This was a very strong jobs report. We have net new non-farm payroll employment reached 303,000 instead of the estimate of 200,000. We have both varieties of unemployment, seasonally adjusted and unadjusted, fell 0.1 and 0.3% respectively, 3.8 and 3.9. Total number of jobless people dropped 100,000 to 6.4 million. People looking for 12 months or longer and not finding anything are still at 1.2 million. We have the unadjusted number of people working right now is over 1 million. That's a great deal for a month. 161,356,000. We have the two measures of how common it is for people to be actually working or one step away, the employment population ratio and the labor force participation rate. They went, each went up 0.2% to 60.3% and 62.7%. Wages got in the act, going up more than inflation, 12 cents an hour to $34.69. The American Job Shortage Number, or AJSN, dropped 700,000. That means latent demand for jobs is 16.3 million. So it's extremely good this was. The bad news was it did not make it look much like the Federal Reserve is going to drop interest rates soon because the economy is so strong. But the market liked it so much that on Friday it went up 300 points. Mm-hmm. Instead of grousing about the interest rates, they realized how good this is for everything. And it went up, so they don't get much better than these.
Well, maybe they finally started listening to you. Whenever we talk about the Fed and interest rates, we always say we don't know what's going to happen, right? So instead of kind of speculating, they finally paid attention to the good news. I saw a report or a headline, actually, that said U.S. economy has Wall Street, quote, borderline speechless after blowout March jobs report. So good news.
Yes, it is good news, too. I mean, the interest rates are appropriate. There's no idea that interest rates are really too high because there is so much business going on that it needs to be, they need to be where it is now. I mean, we may get a decrease as soon as July, but it doesn't seem likely that there's going to be any rate cut before then.
All right. Now, the Federal Reserve Chair did say something last week about interest rates. So what was that?
Yes, he did. He just said there needs to be more evidence that inflation is subsiding because inflation is hanging on. It's between 2.5 and 3.5%, depending on the measure. It's not at all high for those of us who lived through the 60s and 70s, but it's high by recent standards. So he's saying that he really needs more. He needs inflation to drop before we can cut interest rates. That may happen or may not happen. Business is so robust, it may not happen. But the market did not like his comments. But as before, they couldn't argue about the economy in general.
All right. And we've been hearing a lot about this Realtors Association settlement, which changes commissions for realtors. What can you tell us a little bit about that and how it affects the cost of buying or selling a house?
Well, it's not established firmly yet. It's still going to be reviewed. It's possibly not going to hold up. But we have here a lawsuit that has precipitated a judgment of $180 billion to consumers. Essentially, what they're saying is that the National Association of Realtors has been price fixing, and they have been making sure that low commissions can't really take place. One thing is the practice of tying buyer and seller commissions, and that makes sure that when a property goes on the multiple listing service, which is the general thing, which is really the big nationwide forum for available properties, when that happens, it's automatically going to be a 6% or close to that commission. And that is probably not going to happen much more. So what these things do, I mean, we're going to have average commissions going down one way or another. It's just a matter of how much. So what it's going to be is people will be more willing to move around the country and more willing to buy and sell houses because you don't have the fees now when you have everything. When you add all the fees, it's over 10%, and that's a lot of money. If you're talking about, say, a $300 house, that's over $30,000. That's a few bucks to most of us. So it's going to improve, and when exactly it takes place, it will get better.
All right. Let's talk about a job fair happening tomorrow. What's going on, and where is it?
This is the Pike County Workforce Development Agency. It's the Working Pike Job Fair. It's tomorrow. It runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at the Best Western Inn in Hunt's Landing. At Hunt's Landing, it's on U.S. 6 in Matamoros. There will be 70 employers at least from the tri-state area. No fee for job seekers. No RSVP is necessary. So show up with your resume and with your plans for what kind of thing you're looking for, dress for success, and check it out if you are in need of what it offers.
All right, let's talk about the numbers. What were the stock, oil, crypto prices this morning and also last week? How did things change?
Well, gold is $2,335, up $78. It's up around all-time highs now. In fact, it's set a couple of all-time highs in the last week or two, probably the last week. Silver, $2,775. I told you silver has been lagging. It's up $2.69 the past week. The ratio has dropped between that and gold from 90 to 1 to 84, a little over 84 to 1. The Dow, on the other hand, 38,904, dropped 897, a bad week. Not nearly as bad a week on NASDAQ, where it was 16,249 for minus 130. Oil, West Texas Intermediate, still going up, 86.01. $2.93, and it was down late last week, but it went up. It seemed to go up either this morning or over the weekend or what have you. Strange, because the pump near me in Eldred dropped a dime a gallon, so maybe you're not seeing it. Maybe you are. Bitcoin, all-time, I don't know if this is all-time high territories. It was super high, but the highest in years, 71,257 plus 1715. British pound down a tenth of a cent at 126.17. The euro up 34 hundredths of a cent at 1.0827. And the Japanese 100 yen coin still sitting at a long time low of 66 cents. So here's something for you. The metals are going up. So platinum and palladium have been dragging, and so has rhodium. Both of these are, all three of these are a lot lower than highs they've seen before. They're listed right along with gold and silver. And if you have a taste for exotic investments or exotic metals, you might check some of these things out. They're kind of fun to own, too.
Rhodium. All right. Well, I will say that I was driving around in different parts of the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania this weekend, and those gas prices are all over the place. There was nothing really consistent. So, yeah, I've been definitely seeing it locally. Hey, before we go, James B., let's remind folks why it makes great economic sense to donate during our spring fun drive.
Because it's, I mean, WJFF offers great value, and if you kick in a little money and help it keep going, you'll be able to get programs like these with no commercials. The station, we harass you for about 4 weeks out of the year, but that means 48 weeks with no commercials, hardly anything for interruptions, so if you're not a donor, consider being one.
Yeah, and it helps the whole community as well. James B. Huntington with WorkShift Live every Monday here on Radio Chatskill. Thank you so much, and enjoy that eclipse.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, listeners.
We'll take a quick break, and we will check in with one of our other folks from WJFF. Who is out there looking at the eclipse up north. This is Radio Chatskill.
Hi, my name is Samuel O'Hurst Kessler. I'm a producer on the Planet Money podcast.
My name is Claudia Pescuta, and I'm a supervising editor on NPR's Morning Edition.
My name is Sachi Kobayashi, and I'm a director of collaborative philanthropy at NPR.
My name is Devin Meller. I'm the operations manager for NPR's New York Bureau. My high school creative writing teacher introduced me to public radio.
I'm jokingly what's called a backseat baby.
I did not grow up listening to public radio, but I discovered it at some point and fell in love with the news coverage and shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I got my introduction to radio by working at WXPN in Philadelphia. And on my first day, I realized that everyone there was there to serve the listeners, no one else.
However you found public radio, you can be part of the community that makes it possible.
Please give to this station today. Here's how.
Support Radio Catskill during our spring fun drive. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
or call us at 845-482-4141. I'm Tim Bruno. You're listening to Radio Chatskill during our Spring Fun Drive. We had a challenge that was issued just about a half hour ago from Claire Marin at Catskill Provisions, a $500 challenge. We've heard from a couple of folks, just heard from Jim in Whitelake, who's just donated it. Thank you so much. And that is also adding to the donation we heard from Anonymous and also the new sound supporter, RM Farm Realty. Gina over there is signed up as a sound supporter. So that means we only have about $280 left on this challenge. So help us get there. We need to make the $500 before we get the $500. Call us at 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. I'm joined in the studio again by culture reporter Valerie Manzi. Hello.
Hello. Hello to everyone. And what a wonderful program you gave our community this morning, Tim.
Well, thank you. And thanks to all the people in the community that have come through. You got to go see everybody in the office coming through and saying
yes,
hi.
Yes, yes. And everyone was happy to be here. And again, it is all about community. 845-482-4141. We are so thrilled when folks come in and share their thoughts about WJFF with us and also are able to be generous and make a donation to keep us going because we need that to stay on air.
We're listener-supported public radio. Call 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. Another member of our community is Barb Demarest. You know Barb, don't you, Val?
Yeah, of course I do.
Barb is on the phone right now. Barbara Demarest is on our board, and she's also heading up north to view the eclipse. Barb, where are you?
Well, I'm in Ithaca right now, Tim, and good morning to you and to Valerie. I spent the weekend in Ithaca, and it was popping here over the weekend. We've got a typical upstate New York morning with the clouds roll in, the clouds roll out. But very shortly, my daughter and I are going to be headed out to the Oneida Lake area, and we're hoping for a parting of the clouds and a great view of the eclipse this afternoon. We're really excited.
Now, you said, you said it's popping. Are there a lot of people around? A
lot of people, yeah. It really looks like there's been an influx, as we've been told there was going to be, into the upstate New York communities for the eclipse. Lots of activity going on, crowded restaurants in Ithaca and on the commons over the weekend.
How exciting.
So we'll see what we contend with in terms of traffic jams and so on. We've got a full tank of gas and some snacks for the back seat, and off we go. We're going on an adventure.
That's great. That's so cool. What motivated you guys to go?
Well, this doesn't come around all that often. And it seems like, it's only a couple of hours away from home, so why not?
Well, and you're talking about how there are like-minded individuals like yourself there. There's a sense of community about this,
community, right?
And we're talking about the sense of community that WJFF brings
absolutely, as
well.
Well, we'll bring you some news this afternoon if everything aligns, and I'm hopeful for it. And good luck there with the pledge drive.
Well, thank you so much.
I'll be back in the studio with you later on in the week and looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in with us, and enjoy the eclipse.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. That's okay. Barb Demarest from our board of trustees, longtime volunteer, great member of our community as well, who's upstate in Ithaca, heading up toward the lake there to view the eclipse with her daughter. Isn't that great?
It's wonderful. And, you know, what strikes me is that it is all about community, that it's satisfying to experience things together.
Well, and you don't always get that sense of community or a communal experience in this fractured world. And so something like this that's happening. And then I will say, not that we're as important as the sun on the moon, but
we're pretty important.
Well, but I mean, there's a sense of communal experience here. Like
absolutely,
you tune in here and you have that sense of community. You hear what's going on in the community. You hear great culture stories that you bring us. We'll hear your story from the students at Wallenpaupack High School and their production of Les Miserables. We'll hear that this week, and so many great things. So donate to support that.
Yes. And it's wonderful that we at WJFF reach out to the young people, and how thrilled. I did two interviews with high school students about their performances And they're just so excited to be on the radio and learn about radio. So we get out there in the community, WJFFradio.org, if you want to make a donation to keep us going and keep us reaching out.
Call 845-482-4141 to donate to us during our spring fund drive. This is WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello. It's Radio Catskill, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. Local news, culture, and NPR. Today's weather, mild mixed, clouds mixed with sunshine, but I'm just going to call it sunshine. A high of 63. Tonight, a low of 42. And later at 2, keep in mind, listen for NPR special coverage. The eclipse from 2 to 4. We'll also check back in with Jason Dole and Barbara Demarest. It's 11 o'clock.